パンフレット、
はい、
صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون، يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us here tonight to spend a few minutes that we have a few aspects with regards to our reformation and our islah. In this ayat al-kareema, in these verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalls and mentions the dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, we know, is a very, very great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was known as Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the title that was given to him. Very close relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him very severely. In fact, it is mentioned in the hadith to the effect that those who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tested the most. Hence you find that the anbiya, the test which comes upon the anbiya is the most severe test. And then those who are close to the anbiya also get just a test, just as severe. Another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْهُ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes good for, Allah ta'ala puts some musibat on him. So sometimes, some musibat, difficulty comes upon us, we start losing hope. Why so many tests? Why so many trials? Why so many tribulations? Why are these difficulties coming upon me? Yes, the first thing is that we should look and introspect. Am I doing something wrong? Am I committing some sin? Do what is necessary, make tawbah, make istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. However, these tests must come. Allah Ta'ala mentions, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. The mafhoom and the gist of that ayat, no time to go into it. Allah Ta'ala mentions to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the people who came before you, many, many trials and tribulations and difficulties came upon them to such an extent, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, that until the Nabi of the time and those people who were with that Nabi, they reached a state and a position in their lives where they said, when is the help of Allah coming? When is Allah Ta'ala's help coming? Then Allah Ta'ala responds, Ala, listen very carefully, إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. The help of Allah is very near. The help of Allah is very, very near. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests sometimes. In fact, I heard this example from the late Hazrat Mu'ayyus Patel sahab, nawarallahu maqadahu. He said that sometimes the little child, the grandchild, so the grandchild comes to the grandfather or to the father. But generally you find the grandparents have got a special spot. They say the children are the milk and the grandchildren are the cream on the milk. But nevertheless, so sometimes the grandparent will have the chocolate or the sweet, and the little grandchild, now the grandparent has bought the toffee and the sweet for the child. But out of love, sometimes the grandparent teases the child. Yes, and then pulls back. Teases, pulls back. And now the child starts getting hysterical to the extent that the child starts to tear cry. And then suddenly the grandparent grabs the child and hugs the child and then says, no, this toffee is for you. But the grandparent gets some special feeling in this. A joy which cannot be explained in words. These things cannot be explained in words. People who don't have children don't understand the joy of having children. Some people have this, just we alone, we don't want any children, we don't want disaster in our lives, and to live. But they don't realize the joy of having children in the home. Nevertheless, so he says in the same way, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah is right there. But Allah ta'ala doesn't want to just give it to you. Not that Allah ta'ala has got something against us. But Allah ta'ala loves it when his banda picks up the hands and starts tearing and crying for Allah ta'ala's help. So then Allah ta'ala, so to say, metaphorically, Allah ta'ala then grabs that person into his shroud of rahmat and mercy. And Allah ta'ala brings that person close. And suddenly that person feels the help of Allah coming from whichever direction, they can't even understand. So Allah inna nasrallahi qareeb, don't ever lose hope in Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's help is right there, it's right there. Allah inna nasrallahi qareeb. So the help of Allah ta'ala is right there. Don't, shaitan makes us lose hope. You see, you made dua, nothing happened. Nothing's happening, you're making dua. People make the statement. No, I'm making dua, I'm giving sadaqah also, I'm bringing hajat, namaz. But my problems are not getting solved. This is shaitan. This is from Shaykh. Mu'min never loses hope. And this is what Allah Ta'ala is teaching to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the people before you also tested. You have come into this world and you will be tested. We are coming back to the point that the Anbiya are tested most severely. And then those who are closest to the Anbiya are tested just as severely. So those who are closest to the Anbiya then are tested just as severely. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. Some trial, some tribulation, some difficulty will come upon us. And look at Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. Such a great Nabi of Allah, Khalil of Allah, the friend of Allah. Making dua for years and years that Allah ta'ala must bless him with a son and a child. At the age of approximately 80, finally Allah blesses him with a son. Defying all odds and all science and all doctors. It's not possible to have children that age. But Allah Ta'ala wants something to happen, it will happen. Now when he gets a child and he has such an attachment and the child grows strong and the bond is at its strongest. Allah Ta'ala shows him in a dream as a wahi that slaughter and sacrifice yourself. Now look at this test and look at this trial. He puts it forward to his son complies, and he goes, we know the incident, he goes to the extent of complying. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then replaces that with an ayah, and so on, Qurmani comes into existence. So the point is that look at the maqam I'm trying to depict and show the kind of stage that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had and how close he was. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ. Allah says to the effect that this was a true test. This was a real exam. Children are writing examinations. So the child comes back with a very, very challenging test. The examiner says, this is an easy test. You still haven't seen the proper exams. Wait till the real one comes. So the child thinks it's... But if the examiner says, this was a challenging test, and you managed to pass this challenging, now we can really say it was challenging. Allah says that was indeed a true exam and test. And he passed it with flying colors. So this was the maqam of Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet, look at the humility, the humbleness, the fana'iyat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is something that the Muhammadis have also mentioned, that in this field of tasawwuf, the whole maqsad, the whole objective of the purification of one's self is apne ana ko fana kar dena, to completely annihilate this ananiyat of ours, ke main kuch hu, I am also someone, I am also an important person. Let me make salam to me, let know who I am. So the whole objective in the mashayikh, the whole goal is to completely destroy this ana within oneself. That you completely, you humble yourself. And this is the maqam of Hazrat Ibrahim and all the anbiya. Look at the dua that he makes. La tukhzini yawma yub'ath. O Allah, do not disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine such a Nabi with such a maqam, passing such tests. He could have said, I have reached such a maqam now. How many exams I have passed? I sacrificed. Which Nabi sacrificed his son? I was prepared to sacrifice his son. So I really, but look at the humility, look at the humbleness, look at that annihilation of oneself. He thought nothing of it. Completely nothing of it. He said, Ya Allah, do not disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. If you have to expose my weaknesses, where will I go? يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On that day, when neither wealth nor will children benefit any individual. The person there with all his wealth, he can't try and bribe the officials as it happens nowadays. The anbiya cannot be bribed. There, the person will have to account for his own actions. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except that individual who comes before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a qalb salim, with a clean, with a pure heart. Now, we may all say that alhamdulillah, my heart, mashallah, you have a very clean heart. We all sometimes, the person goes and says, no, I'm very healthy. So somebody asked him, did you go to the doctor to get yourself checked up? So no, I woke up in the morning, there were no aches and pains, so I'm very well. So yes, he may be feeling well, but there may be certain sicknesses that he's not even aware of. He may not even aware of. And sometimes, very often you have people say, I'd rather not go to the doctor because he may discover some illnesses that I'm not even aware of. I'm fine the way I am. My heart is fine. I'm getting one, two pains, but I'd rather not go and do that. Exactly. So the person... But the reality is that we cannot take that to say that this person has a clean medical condition. To get a true understanding of his medical condition, he will have to go to the doctor and he will have to do some kind of examination, and the doctor will then give him some kind of a report to say that your heart, this is the condition of your heart, this is the condition of your blood, this is your sugar levels, this is your blood pressure, etc., etc. So subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the muhaddithin and the muhassirin and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have also given us a scan. And how can you scan yourself to see whether or not you have a clean heart, a qalb salim? Because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, every person, neither his wealth, nor his money, nor his children will help him. Yes, if he has got a pure heart, a qalb salim, then this will be of assistance to him on the day of Qiyamah. Meaning that if you purify your heart, the purification of one's inner self will be of assistance on the day of Qiyamah, when nothing else will happen. So how do you know if your heart is clean and pure? Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi has given five tafsirs of Qalb-e Sareem. Five tafsirs of Qalb-e Sareem. The first one he has mentioned, that Alladhi yurshidu banihi ila al-haq. How do you know if a person has got a clean heart? He says that person who directs his children towards good things, towards righteousness, he has fikr and concern about the tarbiyah and the nurturing of his children. He's always concerned that his son, his daughter must be on the right track. He's got fikr for them. He's got fikr for the akhirah. He's concerned about the akhirah. Last week for Jummah, we had a talk in Masjid Musalla. MashaAllah, there they requested a topic beforehand. So the topic which was requested was the harms of social media, the pros and cons, and how to, you know, to, as Muslims, how to deal with social media. So the reality is that as parents, we have to be so concerned about our children, especially giving our children, little children, cell phones, those cell phones that have access to the internet, that have these social media applications. We should be extremely vigilant. There must be absolute supervision. We cannot turn a blind eye. As Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah is a one bayan of his, or a series of bayans, in which he discussed this topic in detail, the upbringing of one's children. So the title of the book is called Removing the Safety Net. A person has got a swimming pool in the property and he doesn't put a safety net on the swimming pool. And he's got little children walking around in the yard. What will happen is that the child doesn't know how to swim. You say the child is not water friendly yet. The child doesn't know how to swim. The parents are occupied inside. The child then goes close to the swimming pool, falls in. The child wants to play with the water. It's looking nice when we sit around a swimming pool on a hot day. Who doesn't want to dive inside? So the child wants to also go inside. The child dives inside the water and finish. So in the same way, there are a lot of temptations out there. Children are attracted to it just as we are attracted to it. But we perhaps have got the potential to stop ourselves. The person is sometimes married, so he pulls back. There are a lot of obstacles to prevent him, but today even the married people, the brakes are failing. So children are getting caught up in these things. So they're getting caught up, and as a result, what happens is that inevitably the child gets caught. And from way to way, what happens to the child, then you find that there's bullying taking place. So the parents have to be extremely vigilant, ensuring that that safety net to protect the children from harm and from becoming the, you know, being kidnapped by nafs and shaitan, our own children don't get kidnapped. As Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah, in one couplet of poetry he mentioned, he said, "Oh people, you have become so ghafil, you don't realize. You put big burglar guards in the front doors of your houses, metaphorically. But the thieves has made a hole from behind and is already inside the house." In other words, we think we everything is fine, but we don't realize that already within our home, shaitan is already attacking our children. By means of these cell phones, by means of this internet. So we have to be extremely cautious. So the first one, الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ, that he's always directing his children to the right path, he's correcting them, he's reforming them with a lot of hikmah. Today we have to use a lot of hikmah also. Sometimes a person's child, Allah protect us, the son is on drugs. May Allah protect. And now the parents say, "I'm sick and tired of the child, get out of the house." But this too, what's going to happen? The child is going to go out of the house. The child will go somewhere else. Eventually the child can even lose his iman. So sometimes the parents will just keep their child with that and try whatever they can. At least the iman is still at, the iman is still protected. So we have to be very cautious, very careful, make mashwara first before we decide to do anything rash when it comes to our families and our children. Make a lot of mashwara. Today's time also we have to use a lot of hikmah. There has to be a balance also. You have to also give them some kind of halal entertainment as well. You're only going to be say, "Can't do, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this." Eventually the child says, "I can't do anything." So you have to also give them some halal entertainment, some halal enjoyment, take them for parks, play with the children. So you balance the whole thing up. Give them good food also where possible. Let them be happy in the home, smiling, joking, play with them, talk to them. So nevertheless, الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ, this is the first sign that the person's heart is clean. He's got fikr for his children. The second one is الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that person who spends his wealth in good causes. Allah has given him wealth, he spends it in good causes. You always see him, some helping this person. It doesn't mean you have to be very rich to spend. Some people have this that only the wealthy can spend. I have to have 200,000 balance in the bank account, then I can start spending. Even if a person got 10 rand, he's got 10 rand to, and from the 10 rand he spends, he gives 1 rand to someone. And even if the person didn't spend in terms of wealth, but he spent it another way. You saw your neighbor was carrying some packets, battling to carry the packets, you went and said, let me help you. You also are using your energy to help the next person. This is also using your wealth is some resource which Allah has given you, using your energy as a resource to help the next person. You saw a friend stuck on the side of the road, you knew the person. Today you have to be very careful. Nowadays you don't know which person, sometimes it's a trap. But you knew the person. And you could see his vehicle is stuck on the side of the road, you stopped, you helped him, you assisted him. That's also a kind of infaq and a kind of sadaqah. The person is walking, he saw a harmful object on the ground, a piece of glass, a banana peel, something that will hurt someone. He moved it out of the way. That is also a kind of a sadaqah. So yunfiqu malahu fi sabilil bir, he spends his wealth and the resources which Allah has granted him, he spends it in good causes. So this is a sign. In fact, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that I determine the person's earnings to see whether it's halal or haram, to see where he spends his money. If his money is being spent in good causes, then this is an indication that their wealth has come through the halal. And if the wealth is being spent in haram ways, cinemas, discos, theatres, all these kind of things, gambling, then this is an indication that he has earned his money in the haram way. He's earned his money in the haram way. So, الَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ فِي سَبِيلِ الْبِرِّ, that person who spends his wealth in worthy causes. The third tafsir is, الَّذِي يَكُونُ قَلْبُهُ خَالِيًا عَنِ الْعَقَائِدِ الْبَاطِلَةِ, that person whose heart is pure from incorrect beliefs. His aqaid are correct. That means he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. He believes in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam correctly. He doesn't have false beliefs. Today you find very often people have false beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got certain qualities which are specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find sometimes people are attributing certain qualities of Allah to the Nabi of Allah. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of everything. Allah ta'ala is alimul ghaib. Allah is the knower of the unseen. Now if a person takes that quality and gives it to someone else, then this is an incorrect belief. Sometimes people have got superstitious beliefs. That if you walk underneath the step ladder, you walk on the step ladder, so now your whole day will be bad luck. Whole day will be bad luck. But yet that same person, if he's got 100,000 deal to sign, and on the route there's one step ladder there, then suddenly he doesn't see it. Yes, he'll walk. So superstitious beliefs, people used to believe funny things. That if the bird takes off, and in the times of Nabi Kareem Sassam, the Mushrikeen, if the bird took off and it flew in the right direction, then that's a good omen. And if the bird took off and it flew on the left, then it's a bad omen. So people have these superstitious beliefs that if this happens and if that happens, we must have full yaqeen in Allah, and Allah is the doer. To such an extent that sometimes people, the ta'weezes which we, there's nothing wrong, ta'weezes is completely permissible. To read wazifas, it's permissible. But sometimes the person's yaqeen goes so much in the ta'weez and in the wazifas, as Manish Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that wazifas, 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 until eventually the person becomes a wazif chief. Morning this wazifa, that wazifa, another wazifa. Wazifa meaning the person, he must read this for that, must read that for this, and read this for that, and read this for this. And then he's got ta'weezes everywhere. One ta'weez around the neck, one ta'weez around the arms, one ta'weez around the chest, one ta'weez in the front door, one ta'weez on the window. Whole house is full of ta'weezes. So eventually what happens? And yet you find that sometimes the biggest jadu and seher is that haram that we have in the home in the form of the television. The person has got music playing in the house. In that house, as Maulana Sahib explained, that the person has got the television in one room and on the other side of the wall he's got Ayatul Kursi. Now that becomes the seher and jadu in itself. And mashallah, you get many amils who are, they will tell you first thing, if you have a television, one particular amil we are aware of, if he hears the person has got a television now, he says, I'm not even doing anything. First you take the television out. So there is a place for these things, but sometimes the person's yaqeen now and belief goes in Taweez, and Taweez is looking after me. Instead of Allah Ta'ala looking after the person, his aqeedah and his belief is that this Taweez is looking after me. So may Allah Ta'ala give us that kind of a yaqeen, that we have full conviction in Allah Subhanahu. We must remember that no harm and no benefit, ma yaftahil lahu, the ayat of the Quran Sharif which disturbed the mind, but that individual upon whom Allah Ta'ala has opened up some doors of rahmah, fala mumsikala, nothing can stop it from coming to a person. And another hadith, Qudsi, wa'alam anna al-umma law ijtama'at ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in the hadith al-Qudsi that Allah says that if there is some benefit the whole world can get together to benefit you in some way. But if Allah Ta'ala does not want them to benefit you, they'll never be able to benefit you. Even though the whole world gets together. And likewise, if the whole world gets together to harm an individual but Allah wants to protect him, our brother Imran that was here last week, mashallah. But last week, the week before, the Hanka broke there. So mashallah, five bullets fired at him. And I met him today, mashallah, he's walking normal now. So when Allah Ta'ala wants to protect a person, five bullets can be fired and the person can still nothing. And on the other hand, sometimes it just takes one bullet in the person. Allah Ta'ala has written that the time is up, that will be an excuse. So our aqeedah and our belief must be correct. That Allah is the doer. No one else can do. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a human being. Yes, he's the greatest after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he does not have the qualities of Allah. Allah is independent. Allah doesn't share any qualities with others. So our aqeedah also must be correct. This is the second sign, or the third sign of a heart that is qalb-e sareem. The third one, الَّذِي يَكُونُ قَلْبُهُ خَالِيًا عَمَّا سِوَى اللَّهِ. Or rather the third one, or one of them, الَّذِي يَكُونُ قَلْبُهُ خَالِيًا عَمَّا سِوَى اللَّهِ. That person's heart is detached from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is free from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that everything that he is doing is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent that even when the person is doing a mundane activity, he's walking into the home, he's greeting his parents, he's speaking to his wife, at the back of the mind, the subconscious mind, this too is doing for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is going to work with the correct intention. And this boy, Mr. Rahmatullah, used to say that even our going to work can become dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gave the example of two individuals. You have one person who goes to the masjid. He says that, I'll just make zikr of Allah in the masjid all day. All day he sits and reads tasbihs, finishing tasbihs upon tasbihs. The musalla too is getting worn and torn. And you have another person who goes to work, and all day he's telling potatoes, tomatoes. So he's shouting potatoes so much, tomatoes so much, potatoes, tomatoes, from the morning till the night. Or till the evening. But he is going with the intention that, Ya Allah, the money I get, I'll pay for rent, lights, water, feed my children and family. Because your command. Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, the person who is shouting the whole day potatoes and tomatoes, he is more beloved in the eyes of Allah than that person who sat in the masjid and didn't fulfill the rights. He is more beloved. طلب كسب الحلال فريضة بعد الفريضة كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to seek a halal livelihood is a compulsory act after other, the other compulsory acts. That means after our salah and our zakat and our fasting and our hajj, the next compulsory act is to earn a halal livelihood. So the person is going out with the correct intention. Now his entire day at work becomes dhikr of Allah, a kind of dhikr of Allah. So there too, even when he is at work too, he is thinking of Allah Ta'ala. Acha Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Mazrub Rahmatullahi, in one couplet of his, he says, Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi, Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi, wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath reh kar ke bhi, sab se juda rahe. He says the person is involved in the activities of dunya, dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi. Even while he is involved in the activities of dunya, he is ba khuda. He's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wo sab ke saath reh kar ke bhi, sab se juda rahe. That despite being with everyone, interacting with everyone, he's detached from them, he is out, he's elsewhere. And Khaja Sahib himself once on one occasion, when all the ulama, those who had ta'alluq with him, as Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah happened to be there, they went for a little break into the Himalaya mountains. And so it was a light-hearted gathering. So Khaja Sahib was cracking jokes. Everyone was laughing. And there's nothing wrong with this. This is part of deen. Some people understand deen to be that once a person changes, now it's all doom and gloom. Now, because we're heading for qabr now. There's no chance to smile at all. The person is going to live, pass away. Subhanallah, Nabi Kareem Sassam, look at, if you study the Shama'il and the Seerah of Nabi Kareem Sassam, there was so much of humor. On so many occasions, Nabi Kareem, on one occasion an elderly woman came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, I am old, will old people go to Jannah? So Nabi Kareem Sassam, no, old people won't. So she started crying. She turned around, very heavy heart, and she started walking back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started smiling, called her back. He said, no, Allah Ta'ala will make you young and then enter you into Jannah. So look at that. Humility. And then many, many examples of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the humor. On one occasion, one sahabi came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have anything. Could you please give me a camel? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'll give you a baby camel. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what am I going to do with a baby camel? Baby camel, there's nothing I can do with it. I can't even ride it. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started smiling. He said, every camel is the baby of another camel. So there was humor. Is there anyone who could have had more figure of akhirat than Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Yet there was humor in the life of Rasulullah. So many incidents of this nature. So sometimes shaitan puts this thing here to prevent a person coming closer to deen. It says, once you change, now life is going to become very, very serious. So Khaja Sahib, while cracking jokes and everyone is laughing, he stopped suddenly. He said, all of you, whilst you are laughing, how many of you thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So they all looked down and said, no. He says, Alhamdulillah, summa Alhamdulillah, even whilst cracking these jokes too, I was thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Nabi Kareem Sa'asim said, إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ عِبَادًا. To put happiness in the heart of a believer is ibadat. So I wanted to make you unhappy, and that's why I made crack these jokes. So even his cracking of jokes too was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we don't understand these things when we sit with the Ahlullah. We say, some people used to raise these objections about Hazrat Wala. It's cracking jokes in the masjid, making people laugh. What kind of sheikh is this? People, Al-Maru yaqisu ala nafsi. People look at themselves. When they crack jokes, then they become heedless and ghafil. The Ahlullah are never heedless and ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even whilst laughing with everyone, the person, his heart is attached and linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So time has already expired. The fifth one, inshallah, in the next majlis, it's the divine. But inshallah, there's some khair in that. In the next majlis, inshallah, we will mention that. Subhanallah. There's a request for short zikr, inshallah.
لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله
Ya Allah, to talk, Ya Allah, regarding aspects, and to listen, Ya Allah, regarding aspects related to our deen, our akhirat, and our tazkiyah, and our reformation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Allah, major, minor, those sins which we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us all with a qalb as-saleem. Bless us all with a clean heart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Musaffa, Musaffa, Mujalla, Muzakkad al-Atafa. Give us a heart which is clean, pure, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, spiritually purified heart, Ya Allah. Allah, remove all our weaknesses and our defects and our sicknesses, Ya Allah. Allah, give us a realization, Ya Allah, that we are coming to this world, Ya Allah, and we will be tested, Ya Allah. Let us never lose hope in you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the Anbiya were tested so severely, Ya Allah. Many were tested so severely, Ya Allah. But, oh Allah, we are extremely weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beg you and beseech you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, take us through the road of shukr, Ya Allah. And take us through the road of sabr, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with ni'mas and bounties, Ya Allah. And give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to make shukr and appreciate those bounties and ni'mas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if some difficulty does come, it is muqaddar to come, Ya Allah. Then, Ya Allah, you bless us with that quality of sabr, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the best of dunya and the best of akhirah, Ya Allah. Allah, all those that are sick and ailing, give them shifa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who have passed away and lost their near and dear ones, Ya Allah, fill their graves with nur, Ya Allah. Allah, when our time comes, Ya Allah, take us to Madinah Sharif, Ya Allah. Allah, I mubarak on Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وذا وصول تدفات يا الله but oh Allah if it is not مقدر يا الله wherever it may be يا الله give us a death of barakat يا الله Allah, you are well aware of the good desires, the aspirations, the needs, the wants of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations, whatever difficulty, pain, grief, sickness they are going through, Ya Allah, you remove it, Ya Allah. Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyya, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhanahu wa rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.